Yes, you can hear me. Good evening, everyone. Over the past few weeks, we've been walking through a sermon series on Exodus with intermittent smatterings of childlikeness throughout. So last time we heard about childlikeness, Will Briggs spoke on it. And just to refresh our memory, I wondered if we could call out some of the attributes of childlikeness. Can anyone remember, or what comes to mind for you? Can you just call them out? Trusting.
Innocence.
Purity.
Dependency.
Simplicity.
Imagination.
Curiosity. Yeah. Any more? What was that?
Insistence.
Playful. That's a good way to help us remember about childlikeness. So one of my fondest memories as a child, we're going to talk about childlikeness, was of being able to dress up and imagine I was someone else and play a game of pretend. But when you were in it, it was totally real. Now I'm looking around and it's going, yeah. One of my favourite times that I remember was with a large group of school friends playing pretend, but we were playing Challenge of the Super Friends. Now I don't even know if this was something that was aired in the UK, but we were playing something that was on TV, and we were playing superheroes, Challenge of the Super Friends. We were all superheroes. We were all saving the world from some unknown baddie. One of the boys truly believed he was Spider-Man and jumped off a 6-foot fence. Thankfully, he wasn't injured, but he had no fear, and it was really fun to play. In today's world, superheroes are just as popular, if not more, than they were when I was a child. While superheroes in my childhood were Wonder Woman, Superman, and Spider-Man, and Batman, they are now remaking them over and over and over again. And DC has now created thousands upon thousands of new ones. To have so many heroes in our world says something about our human frailty and longing to be rescued. We need saving. We are scared and broken. That inside of us, we're children that want someone to follow, to lead us. We want to look up to people we can admire. And people, we can say, when I grow up, I want to be like that. But every hero has a weakness or vulnerability. Every hero is aware of their limitations. Just as Superman has his kryptonite, every hero, every person, no matter what sort they are, has a story and a journey of how we have come to know them to be. And often our heroes have come from a place where they've gone through pain, suffering, and hard times to become who they are. Our heroes of faith, our biblical heroes, set an example for us to follow. And the most significant thing that our biblical heroes are known for have come from where they have needed God the most. What God did in and through them, always despite the human fragility of their bodies and souls and their failings and weaknesses. It has come from a place where they have been at the end of themselves and knowing the loving power of God at work. And that is where the most heroic work is in action. And it is heroic to be childlike. The psalm read for us by Marion and from all of you expresses that for us. This psalm in Psalm 131 was written by our biblical hero David about himself as he is before God and his longing and hope for God's people. In Psalm 131, we encounter childlike heroism. The picture is of childlike contentment, of complete trust, of humility, an image of safety and of security, and of only desiring what God wants and nothing else. And at the centre of this psalm is the image of a weaned child with its mother. All of us were children once. And as someone who has worked with and cared for children for 25 years, I find this image of what David expresses fascinating. A weaned child would usually be a child that is approximately age 2 or 3. This age in Western society is often called the terrible 2s and 3s. Many children at this age and stage, when around their mothers, may exhibit their worst behaviour. Recently, we had a family of 3 children come and stay with us. The youngest was age 2, and her mother was trying her hardest to wean her. This little girl was determined not to be weaned. She would demand her mum sit down so that she could nurse from her. This little girl didn't need her mother's milk, but she wanted it. Every time her mum would sit anywhere, and I mean anywhere, she would be up on her lap and feeding from her again. And when offered a distraction of any sort, would sit and cry. She fretted and was anxious. She seemed angry and sad, somewhat bewildered and confused, because she couldn't have what she wanted. And all of us have been young ones. From approximately about the age of 10 months old, a child can start to realise that they can be separate from their mother. But these can be intense, but with that comes an intense, can come an intense anxiety. No children are the same. This is often why young children stretch boundaries, make mess, and do things we are not supposed to do. We want what we want, but most of all, we want to know how far we can stretch mum before she breaks and how far her love stretches. The words most often heard by 2-year-olds, or that word, is no. The word most often heard from a 3-year-old is why. And yet, in this psalm, we have almost an opposite image of how David is with God. A weaned child, but in a place of peace. All control laid down. Security, humility, and vulnerability. 2 very different pictures. So what happened in between? How has David gone from anxiety and fear to a place of peace, surrender, and complete trust? We can read in the Bible the whole journey of David. David is famous for many things. He killed Goliath, and he was anointed to be king, the next king of Israel. But while waiting to become king, he never set out to take the crown for himself. If you look at the first part of that psalm, it says, my heart is not proud. Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Instead, he went forward in obedience, even when it meant being in the wilderness while King Saul pursued him and tried to kill him. Where everyone else clung to anxiety and fear, he was so content being close to the heart of his loving Father, as with the image of the weaned child. He knows his life is in God's hands alone, where there is no fear, and he's a childlike hero. And it's the same after this difficult time passed, even after he becomes king. In 2 Samuel 16, he displays another act of childlike vulnerability with joyousness, spontaneity and fearlessness. He dances and he worships in his underwear as the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, is brought into Jerusalem. His wife criticizes him and despises him for it. And his response is to celebrate who God is and all he has done. He is uninhibited before God, not worried of what people might say. As David dances before God in worship of him, he displays a childlike surrender and trust. He's a childlike hero. These contrasting images, the anxious child and the contented weaned child, speak to us too. We sometimes look like this. Or worse. The place of control, of fear, of anxiety, of bewilderment, of sadness, of lostness, perhaps even that feeling of abandonment, is one that is familiar to us all. Because we're human. We're people. In life, we're confronted by our own limitations, our fears, our inadequacies, our brokenness. And we do everything to stay in control, to keep our facades in place, to show that we have it all together. And we try and be a hero. And it's the most unheroic thing to do. We need to pursue childlike contentment. No matter how old we are in age, we can still be childlike. We grow into childlikeness. In the well-known words of Matthew 18, Jesus says, we must become like children. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And then he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. We must become as little children. This involves change. And change can be scary. Like little children, we're being weaned. Our hearts desire everything of the world. And the stuff of the world is really easy to get. We cry for it, we're fond of it, we think we can't survive without it. But by the grace of God, he wants us to be holy. And we are weaned from these things. Just as while a child is being weaned, they are angry, scared, and sad, we do the same. All the things that we hold close, we become bonded to them, like slaves to them. As we bring ourselves and the areas of our life to God, we no longer want what we had. We grow stronger, our faith grows stronger, and confidence and trust grows in God alone. The difference between the two images, an anxious child or a contented, weaned child, is the difference between childlikeness and childishness. Jesus' call is to be childlike, not childish. Both are related to childhood. So what's the difference between childish and childlike? Now, there are many books and resources that are written on this subject, including Peter Scazzaro's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. But to summarise some of what he says, when we are childish, we are unteachable. We can prefer to learn from books. We often don't stop long enough to realise we're poor of spirit and that we need to tend to our inner life. And to stop long enough to realise that it's not just theory or book learning. When we are childish, we are selfish and self-centred. We take more pleasure in blessings of God, asking God to bless what we do, rather than knowing the pleasure and glory of himself, of God himself. Within this, we resist the emphasis of the cross of Christ and dying to ourselves. When we are childish, we have very little patience to wait on God. It's easier to run to the next fad, program, or course that comes along. And usually we rely on our own ability. When we are childish, we're often envious. We're unhappy or threatened by what others do spiritually well. And we often compare ourselves to others. When we are childish, we're lazy. We run from anything that is too hard or too difficult to understand or anything that we may find confronting. We can often people please. Everything must look good all the time and we can respond defensively. This is true for us as individuals. It's also true for us together and as a church. And it's confronting. Rather, a childlike faith is one that takes God at his word. Trusting his word is truth. A childlike faith means we are self-aware. We're willing to let God show us where we're out of line. When we have a childlike faith, we trust in who God is. And in childlike faith, there is innocence, purity, and desire for holiness. A childlike faith walks in humility, a willingness to lay down our own agenda and our rights, or so-called rights. There is no control, there is peace and joy. In a childlike faith, we know rest. We work from our rest. We take a Sabbath and we can go slow. We have an eternal perspective and we can see things through God's eyes and we trust in his perfect timing. When we have a childlike faith, we can let the Holy Spirit work. And we want to take the time and space to know God, his word, and to bask in his presence and worship him. And that usually means mess. This is childlikeness of our real heroes. And we desire to be like our heroes. As God's children, we have a desire to grow in maturity in Christ, no matter what age and stage we are. To have a life that rests on absolute trust of who he is as we walk in the freedom he has given us. No matter how old we are in age, we all still have areas of our lives that we want to keep hidden. We all have insecurities, anxieties, fear. What we usually do with them is cover them up. We build a persona, we wear masks and facades, and we live superficially. And we do the same with God. What our loving Heavenly Father longs for is for us to know the depths of his love in his embrace, as a weaned child is held in an embrace. What that might mean is that we allow him to touch the areas of our lives that we don't want to expose. Allowing him to touch the pain, the hurt, and the fear. Often our response is that of a small child. No! It's mine! It's not fair! And we cast blame, we cry, we scream, we yell, we sulk, and generally carry on. And often a lot of that just happens under the surface. And we cover it up. Or we run to whatever we escape to, and that's easy and comfortable. Rather, to be childlike is to go to our loving Heavenly Father, who is waiting for us and wants to give us what we need to grow in him. What if we ask the 3-year-old question, why? Lord, why am I acting this way again? Why do I avoid conflict? Why do I feel so stuck? Why am I so scared of failing? Why do I feel stupid all the time? Why am I so busy? Why do I act defensive? Why am I so angry? Why am I so terrified when I think about the future? Why am I so worried about what others think of me? Why do I feel frazzled and so busy all the time? Why do I feel so empty? Why? In asking the why question, we are trusting God and asking Him to show us what He wants to heal. Honouring Him and worshipping Him as our Creator and our loving Father. And He will draw us close to Him. Just as David laid everything down and didn't use his own ability to make himself king. And he lost his dreams, his family, his reputation, everything. And he waited until God raised him up. And he waited. He was vulnerable, teachable, humble, and openly worshipped as a chosen child of God. As he worshipped, he knew the grace and love of God, and he became more and more content. A biblical hero. A childlike hero that we see in the Psalm. But to end, I want to put before us one thing, one main thing that our childlike heroes understand and know. Every childlike hero has to hit the wall. The wall is where we hit rock bottom. It's where we come to the end of ourselves. Often, as we are stretched and confronted by our own limitations, fears, and our neediness, and our inadequacies, we come to the end of ourselves and we hit the wall. A childlike hero from the 1600s became known as St. John of the Cross, wrote a series of poems that had come from his own faith journey. They were titled The Dark Night of the Soul. John of the Cross, for years, walked this hard road of knowing God in what was his dark night of the soul. For a long time, he wondered why, when he felt numb and bewildered and confused and lost and sad, why at those times he couldn't hear God or feel his presence. As he journeyed more, he came to realize that it was then that God held him closest. He held him so tight that he couldn't see, and that was where the deepest healing was happening. In the loving embrace of the Father, the same image we see in today's psalm, a weaned child is held. And it's the way of Jesus, the greatest hero in history, our biggest hero. While Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But also, into my hands I commit my spirit. The wall. When everything dies, reveals the power of the cross of Jesus. Where we lay ourselves down and let die the things that are not of Him. We then come to know the joy and the wonder and freedom of his resurrection power. As we walk the way of Christ and God breaks down the walls that we have built, he sets us free. At the wall, all that needs needs to be stripped away is stripped away. And repentance is turning to the embrace of God and giving ourselves to Him. Someone once said, repentance is all about turning away from our fleshly desires and instead clinging to the beauty and supremacy of God's will. There is nothing to be ashamed about in admitting you've messed up. Repentance bridges the gap between our failures and God's forgiveness. That's the beauty. It's the gateway to new life and an unrelenting relationship with God. At the wall, all is stripped away, and we are embraced by a God, our God, who loves us. And perfect love drives out all fear. So I want to finish by playing a song. It's a song that has joy and contentment. It's the song of a childlike hero. This song is talking about the journey. In fact, the video even has a path at the beginning. But it's a song that is being sung by someone who has hit the wall and found themselves childlike, embraced by God who holds them as weaned, growing, maturing children. As we play this song, we want to give you the opportunity to take a baby step to freedom. Now, I'm aware that God is moving in you and that He wants to show you His love and His grace. As we play this song, you can respond by moving however you need to toward God. For some of you, taking a baby step might mean just standing where you are. For some of you, a baby step might mean coming forward and being prayed for. A baby step might mean you need to stand and raise your hands in surrender. A baby step for you might mean kneeling before God in worship to lay down everything in your life again. Whatever you need to do to mark this time, to step outside of your comfort zone and to know the love and embrace of the Father as His child. I'm going to pray and then we'll play the song. Loving Holy Father, we thank You for sending Your Son Jesus so that we could be set free to know Your love. Holy Spirit, we need You to break down the walls that we've built. And Lord, we want to walk with You. We want to be Your children. We want to be childlike heroes and know Your love. But we need You, Lord. Amen.